listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports radio stations. It's 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Action-packed? Maybe not action-packed, but we got some betting amongst ourselves and a lot of talk about the Lakers. A lot of talk about Golden State. We said it a couple shows ago. Fezzik wasn't even here. Undisclosed location. And he texted one thing to me, and it was the most controversial thing of the week, which is how good would Golden State be? That team that was on the floor at the end of Game 6, where did that team, without Durant, without Klay, where do they rank in the NBA? What he says is going to shock you. Also, a bunch of other specific recaps when it comes to, you know, we've had 2 days now, 3 days really, if you count Sunday. The verdict is in. How big of a, would we call it a haul the Lakers gave away? Maybe the biggest in history. In studio, we mentioned him, Fezzik, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros, though, without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start with the move that is still being talked about and discussed in the NBA. That is the major trade that took place over the weekend. Anthony Davis, now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. We know all the players that went to New Orleans. Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, and draft picks. Obviously, AD is in L.A. So now, about 72 hours after the fact, what is the Vegas verdict on the big move in the NBA?
Okay, so first I got a question. Am I missing, open question here, Jonas, Brad, Fez, am I missing something? Or everything the Lakers gave away, they effectively gave away for one season of Anthony Davis. Theory being Anthony Davis was unequivocally interested in Los Angeles. And no matter if they traded him to Boston, kept him with the Pelicans, Knicks, doesn't matter. Though Knicks, maybe there was some thought he might stay. He was going to be in L.A. next year. So, you know, in 21, I guess, this, the year of the title. So what am I missing? This is, and I'm not saying it's a bad decision because of that. I want to define it. That's what we're seeing, right? Now, in theory, because he's in L.A. now, they get not only this year, but they can sign him to a different contract, you know, that if you re-sign your guy and it increases the chance that he would stay in L.A. But if he's telling people, I'm going to L.A. regardless, it seems like that contract, that fifth year or whatever, wasn't really going to matter.
Yeah, I think you're right, RJ, but I guess the pro Lakers point here is in theory this should be the best LeBron James, because, I mean, at his age.
Okay, so you're rationalizing why they gave away such a haul for effectively one year. It's almost like if a hotel tells you, okay, you can't stay here Friday, Fez, but you can stay here the next 4 nights for free. And if you go in on Friday and say, I still want to stay, I'll pay out of my pocket. Now, we know that wouldn't happen, but let's say it did, right? And he said, yeah, oh, and they gave you a bill, let's say, for $900. So about what effectively would be the cost over the 5 days. And you said, oh, no problem, here it is. Instead of going down the street for a night and then getting 4 days for free. So the Lakers could think about this team. And one of the things we'll do, Brad, is talk about your Lakers team, if the GMs and the various other decision makers all just went on an island and did a reality show,
how much better this Laker team. Now, Magic might have flown in for a guest appearance and flown out, right? The rest of them would have been there in huts, probably. But either way, that team is an eye popper. We talked about it yesterday. We'll talk about it again today and get feedback on it. But imagine cherry picking the best of that team with LeBron and with Anthony Davis, which is what they could have had next year without giving up Lonzo, Ingram, anybody, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So this isn't what they're paying for Anthony Davis. This is what they're paying for Anthony Davis for one season. Now, Brad, you make a good point. How many good years does LeBron have left? Because he feels like a superhuman, right? We've talked about when he falls, I never think, oh, LeBron might have messed his knee up. I'm worried about the other guy. Not really, but I would be. But last year, is it a coincidence as his mileage keeps growing? And remember, it's not just years, you know, biologically. There's also wear and tear. And, you know, with all of those playoff minutes.
Eight straight trips to the finals.
I mean, literally, because if you think Bill Russell or whatever, there wasn't as many rounds. What, you know, and Fez, you make a good point. These playoff minutes.
Oh, absolutely. And even his regulation minutes were super high, RJ. And then you add to it these ultra intense playoff minutes when so often he had to will his team into those eight finals. You got to count that as what, a double a normal game in terms of the load?
Yeah, something. And then Olympics. I mean, you think about multiple Olympics. And again, that's just a small thing, but it's really not because they were practicing at points other than a couple weeks before the Olympics. And that was the time he was supposed to be off, right? The only time, really, because this sounds crazy, but what, they're back in camp September 15th or so? Yep. I mean, think about that for a second.
And everything I've read says offensively, he's still there. He's still top 10, no problem at all. But defensively, he no longer was guarding the opponent's best player. He no longer had the impact defensively last year than he did in prior years.
Okay, but you said offensively, LeBron, top 10, top. So if he's top 10 offense and bad at defense, what are you saying? He's like the 18th best player? Where do you have LeBron coming into this year, projection? Steve Fezzik, where do you have LeBron?
I only have him borderline top 10, RJ.
Wow. That is as pessimistic as, I mean, I can't even fathom.
No.
What do you think of that, Joe? Give me a number.
He's top five, LeBron.
Is he not one? I mean, I guess here's the thing. If we look at last year and say that it's the first time that he hasn't been in a playoff hunt. So he got hurt. And he was playing excellent before he got hurt,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, easily a top five player.
Yeah. And then he got hurt. He came back. They were out of the playoffs. He wasn't motivated. That's a human being, I think you could say,
yep.
Right? I'm not going to blame him for that after eight straight finals runs. So the question becomes, how much of a drop-off are we going to see from the early season 2018-19, so this most recent year, to this upcoming year, Fez, first off, do you agree he was top five?
I do.
So you're just expecting, this is almost like the famed Tom Brady situation.
I've been predicting his demise since he's 37.
This is no lie. I mean, literally on every pod, we do a season preview every year on our podcast. Remember, you can get this podcast straight out of Vegas every day. Just go to your favorite podcast player, search Straight Out of Vegas or RJ Bell. And if you search RJ Bell, you're going to see our weekly podcast twice a week during football season, The Dream Preview. Hugely popular, deep dive for, is it six straight years or seven straight years when it comes to the Patriots? Fez is going, you know, this is the year, I think. Now, you would think at some point he'd just shut up, but, you know, if you know Fez, that wasn't going
to
happen.
And now, the one thing on the side of Fez's pessimism when it comes to LeBron, so he's entering year 17, but he's played 239 playoff games, which is basically three seasons. So, in reality, he's entering year 20 and just went through his first injury that was supposedly day-to-day and kept him out for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, so I agree, and Jonas did a good, I think, quantifying there how many extra games these playoff runs accounted for, not to mention higher impact games. games. I mean, you think about that San Antonio game with the Heat game. Is that a normal game? Far from it, no doubt. But Jonas mentioned there's another side of this. This is the first time LeBron's going to have upwards of what, 10 months of rest?
Yep.
So when did he get hurt? He got hurt, wasn't it, right around Christmas?
It was Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas game.
Played about 55 games.
Okay, but forgetting that, that's not relevant to what we're talking about. We're talking about calendar time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the calendar time is, except for, how many games did he even come back for? It was less than 10, wasn't it? Yeah, so not
like
that 15. Many.
Yeah.
Not that many. So let's call taking a 6 or 8 week break, playing a handful of games, and then shutting it down. He's pretty much getting 10 months off, you know, to November 1. So let's call it 9 months off. He's never had like more than 3.
You know, it's a great point. You can make the case that with those fresh legs that he might even be better this 1 year. That and I think about the year before he played every regular season game. He didn't take one game off.
Yeah, so the question is, and we all have to ask ourselves, when do you hit the wall? And you never know till you do. But as Mark Jackson would say, Father Time, Brett?
Undefeated.
You got to do it with a deeper voice.
Undefeated.
Was that Andre the Giant? All right, when we come back, we actually have odds on what, and you can make these odds in your head in between. When we come back, Lakers, will they win a title in the next 3 years? Next 3 years, we've got the odds on it. You'd be surprised. We'll tell you when we come back.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look ahead at what could be a preview of next year's NBA.
Thank you for joining us. We are here each weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, I mean, this is like 5 out of 8 days. It's 99 degrees. That is a problem. And the neon is coursing.
So, RJ, we've been talking a lot about the Anthony Davis trade to the Los Angeles Lakers and what it means for the NBA moving forward, including what next year's championship could look like.
Yeah, and to me, this is a fascinating kind of prop. And let's have a warning right now. Any prop bet that is multiple year, you better love the bet because they are going to hold your money. Now, one thing to look at is if you win the bet, do they pay you right away? For example, in baseball totals, if a game goes over in the seventh inning, gets rained out, it's refunds. Even though you've gone over, they don't pay the bet till the game is over. Some of the shadier books, and here's the bet, and you could see how shady it could be. Lakers, will they win a title in the next 3 seasons? So this year, the championship was in 19, so it's going to be the championship year 20, 21, 22. Now, I asked you guys to guess. Think about your number. All right, Brad, right now, if you bet this and said yes, what are you getting paid?
Plus 150. 100 bucks wins you 150.
Wow. So we're saying, I mean, we got to consider VIG and all that, but what, 40% chance the Lakers win a title in the next 3 years?
Seems high.
Really? I thought it seems... I'm not saying it seems low. I'm saying that I think a lot of Laker fans would be surprised. If you said even money, will they win it the next 3 years? I think you could get a lot of bets up and down Sunset Strip. What do you think, Jonas? With the Laker fans that you know, if I gave them even money, will you guys win a title next 3 years? They'd probably be some takers.
Oh, yeah, of course there'd be some takers. The fanboys out here, yeah, they'd dive all over that. I would say that it would be closer to plus 250, them to win a title.
Really?
Yeah.
So what causes your pessimism?
LeBron's age, for one. This is a team, it's not like they showed any sort of promise last year. They added LeBron James and weren't much better. In fact, they might have been worse than they were a year before, and they finished 10 games out of the eighth seed. We've seen it one time in NBA history where a team finished out of the playoffs and then went back the next season to win the NBA Finals. That was the Celtics back in 2008. So there's a lot of history going against it, so to me it would be closer to a plus 250.
So Fez, or Brad, does the yes or no? So the no is what, minus 170, 180, something?
180,
like that. Yeah, but got to get that 30-cent straddle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're only going to hold your money a couple years, potentially. forgetting the time value of money for a second, put your price on Lakers winning a title next 3 years.
I think the no would be like minus 240. The yes plus 200 would be a fair pricing.
So you're more towards Jonas.
I am.
Okay, interesting. Now listen, the Laker fans that would take this at even money, I have feelings about them, and they're quite kind.
It's guys like him that allows our whole lifestyle here.
So, you know, I'm not objecting. Not objecting at all to stupid bets. If you make them with me, right? Don't make them with those dastardly bookies. Okay, this segues, I think, to a great topic. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Is misaligned interest. Okay, this is not finance class, but it's very analogous to the stock market. We all remember, except for like the 14-year-olds out there, and remember, you don't have to gamble to listen. We all remember the housing crisis and how Wall Street, you know, we've seen, you know, a lot of movies out there, Too Big to Fail, et cetera. All these guys wrecked the economy, and somehow they got raises. And then you have a guy that steals, or a gal that steals a credit card, they go to jail. Now, you steal a credit card, you probably should, you know, have a punishment, or you certainly should have a punishment. But the guys that cost billions to the economy, and remember that bailout was like almost $1 trillion. I mean, you know, we could have rebuilt every school in the country for $1 trillion. I mean, it's crazy. It's $1,000 billion. Think about that. Why did it happen? It happened because of misaligned interests. So let me give you an example. And here's another quiz, actually. If I gave you $1,000, you're at the casino, we're at the Cosmo, like me and The Rock were when they filmed Ballers. And I say, here's $1,000. You get one spin of the roulette wheel. That's it. And everything you make above $1,500, or everything after $1,500, so I get my $1,000 back plus $500, you keep. But if you lose, I'll eat the losses. Now, how stupid would the guy be if he bet $500 on something? Right? But really, $500 could be a valid bet in every case except this one, mm-hmm, where the incentive structure for the player in this case is such that you either should just simply, you know, and this is the simple answer, bet $2,000 on red or black, lottery, doesn't matter. Or what you could potentially do is cover up, you know, like pick half the numbers. Fez would sit down and figure a good way to do it. Either way, you would want to have high risk, because you don't win anything unless you win more than 500. We all agree with that, right?
Yep.
Jonas, you get that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now think about on Wall Street, they had the incentives structured. So if they made big, 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 big money, they got big bonuses. And oh, by the way, if you lose a bunch, we'll eat it. I mean, literally, I mean, what do you think? Those traders were paying the billions, right? You were, because taxpayers were. So bad incentive structure. Let's look at the incentive structure of Palenka. There's two possibilities broadly. Obviously, there's going to be a spectrum in between. This trade goes great. This trade doesn't go great. All right. If the trade goes great, nothing else is going to really matter. I mean, if they win even one title, boy, if they win two, it's a Palenka. They're going to, you know, statues, Kobe, next owner. Who knows what's going to happen? And if it goes poorly, which is really just you don't win a title soon enough, Palenka's gone.
Yep.
Now, this trade, Bill Simmons, who really knows basketball, I mean, very much so, he said this is the biggest haul that the Pelicans got in the history of NBA trades. That no superstar has ever been traded and got as much in return for the team letting him go. I mean, think about historically what Shaq got dealt for, right? And think about even Carmelo when he was, you know, a superstar level player. Literally, there's never been a haul like this. And a lot of people might say, really, Ingram? And, you know, Ball? It's the picks. It's the picks. And these picks that the Pelicans got are stunning. It's hard in the NBA to even get an unprotected pick anymore, meaning these teams don't want to give up the third pick in the draft, right? Not only do they have unprotected picks, they have swap rights, they have deferment years. So let's think about what a deferment year is. Fez, you're going to go play poker two straight nights, Friday, Saturday. I say I want to buy in a percentage of your win. And I say, but oh, by the way, I get to pick retroactively. Oh, no, I guess the fair way would be after Friday, I'll get to pick. Do I take Friday's percentage or Saturday? All right. Now, on Friday, you win $3,000. Let's do that one. All the Lakers are somehow, because someone got hurt, the seventh pick in the draft, ninth pick in the draft. They say, yep, give us that year, 21. Oh, you guys did really well, and you have the 28th pick. We'll defer. Just like Fez, you having, let's say, a bad night on Friday. I'd say, you know, you keep Friday. I'll jump on Saturday with you. How big is that?
It's huge.
It's
especially with the time we're talking about. By the year 2025, the last
exactly.
year of the deal.
But where's Pelinka going to be? He's either going to have a statue or he's going to be done gone. So he gave away a bunch of stuff that will probably never affect him. Because even if he's still there as like GM Emeritus or whatever, the fact that they have a couple losing seasons, hey, rebuilding, whatever. But odds are pretty good that Pelinka will be gone by at least the second of those three picks. And there's a whole year that they have swap rights where one of the years they don't actually have the pick itself. Fez, it's like you and I going to play poker and I say, hey, if I win a lot, I want to keep my money. But if you win a lot, I want to take yours and you can have my result. I mean, this stuff is humongous.
By the time you add up all of the cumulative impacts of it, it's suddenly worth more, I would argue, than the three players that New Orleans got. A lot more.
I think, obviously we're back to time value because it is upwards of 6 years in the future. But I understood how valuable these swap rights and the different things were. But just hearing it all laid out by Simmons, it was really like, I've never seen anything like it.
You're getting more than three first-round
picks. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's three first-round picks, and you get to pick and choose which of the three you get kind of after the fact. It's not like before the year starts you got to say it. It's after the lottery. Who knows? Lakers might just make the lottery, then have the first pick. It only takes one injury, right? Because with just LeBron, even at his younger age, this year, he's younger this year and he will be next year.
Turns 35 in December.
Is with one injury to him for a portion of the year, the whole year went in the toilet.
Yeah, and they end up with the fourth pick.
So really, if Anthony Davis or LeBron got hurt in the next 3 years, how good is that team? Because their salary cap is very limited. So it's very possible if you have multiple years, if you're the Pelicans, that even in the next three, you're going to have a pretty good pick. But then when you think post-LeBron, how long is LeBron going to be great? We've been talking about this. Certainly, I think, unlikely to be great in 24, 25. He could surprise us. But you know something? Pelinka doesn't care. And I don't know Jeannie Buss. I don't know how savvy she is at basketball. I'm not sure if she talked to Mrs. Rambis about this trade or all the rumors about this. But boy, when you have a decision maker, and think about this in your life, when you have a decision maker whose interests are misaligned with yours, the Busses are going to own that team in theory in 2023. I'll make a prediction. It's going to be a long one. We'll be on our second, maybe our third contract here at Fox. But the idea of LA talk radio, when they kind of realize how much they got screwed on this deal. And I get it. They win a title, all's well. But we just said the odds of them winning a title Jonas's take in Fezzik was pretty close. So the fan and the elite batter, Steve Fezzik, both are saying, oh, you know, 30% chance. So there's a 30% chance none of this matters. But if you're the Lakers, just one, you don't mortgage your whole future for one title, even if you get the one.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, you think about it. As we said, the odds of them even getting the one title, not great. And they gave all this up for one extra year. We're back to where we started the show. All of this was over one extra year of Anthony Davis. That tells me, and I'm just speculating, LeBron was very adamant. Because what happens if LeBron says, I went out of here? Magic's gone. You can kind of make that as the case. Hey, Magic was what God brought me here. Then where are the Lakers at? So in a weird way, you could say maybe this was the only... If you're going to lose LeBron over it, you got to just trade whatever. But boy, if that's the case, then how selfish is LeBron? Or if it's not the case, how stupid is this trade? Where you're mortgaging... Because like a lot of people said, you throw in those players... And one pick, one number one in the future. So players, this year's number four, which we didn't even mention.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, Ingram was the second pick in the draft, right? And Ball was the second pick in the draft. So you got second pick in the draft, fourth pick in the draft, and three more picks with all those swap rights. I mean, Jonas, this is... unprecedented.
And also, when you put it if in the three-year window, will the Lakers win a championship in the 3 years? This upcoming season is their best shot at it. Because I would think the odds only get worse in years two and years three.
Now, I'm guessing why. One, LeBron's age. Yeah. He's younger this year.
Right.
And two, Golden State being decimated.
Yes, 100%.
Right. Hey, Jonas is getting pretty sharp there, baby.
Yeah.
Because he's absolutely right. Anytime you have title odds, it's relative to the other competition. So I think everyone in the West has a better chance. But this is actually a good tease. So what we're going to do when we come back is we are going to look at Golden State and talk about just how decimated they are. We talked about Fezzik. You are not going to believe how good he thinks Golden State is.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we'll continue to take a deeper look at next year's NBA playoffs. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
I tell you, Jonas, is to me, this Houston stuff, I mean, Chris, how good is Chris Paul right now?
Right.
I mean, to me, is he even a significantly above average player for the course of a season? Maybe if he's healthy for this, you know, 8-game stretch and they're paying him like 40 some mil. I mean, it was an example where Houston, I think, had to mortgage the future to take a shot. It hasn't worked. But who's going to trade? I mean, is Chris Paul got negative trade value?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
With this current contract.
Who's going to pay him $40
million?
Well,
first of all, he's not. Someone's going to pay him $40 million a year, right?
Yeah.
So it's either going to be Houston or someone willing to take him, right? So to me, it's not really a story because he's a borderline unimportant player. I mean, let's respect the history. But Chris Paul isn't the key to winning any title in the NBA right now.
Yeah, and spot on. He always gets hurt in the playoffs anyways, so why wouldn't it happen again when he's older?
All right, so when Fez was gone, and we're going to talk about that and the whole Van Vliet thing, it's gotten serious. You know, we're not playing around anymore might be the way to say it. But I asked him by text when he was in that undisclosed location last week. I said, I was watching game six, and I saw, you know, obviously Steph not playing so great at the end because, you know, fatigue, you could say, whatever, missed that key shot, 0 for 8, blah, blah, blah. Come on, 8. Steph can shoot. And he's not, like Steph's a choker. And listen, I'll just go right at him because he doesn't want any piece of this. Rob Parker, I like Rob a ton. I met Rob at the Super Bowl. Super smart guy, been around the game long time. Super savvy. Knows he's forgot more about radio than I know. It's insane. You're going to talk about Steph as a choker? Just pass it on to him, Jonas.
Listen, he doesn't have hot takes. He's got a Gatling gun of hot takes. And he just rattled
them
off.
You know something?
Off.
He's got it all thought out, buddy.
He does.
He's a sharp dude. Nice guy. And The thing is, I was looking at that team and I thought, man, you look at Draymond, you look at those stats compared to 3 years ago, everything's dropped off. Points per game, field goal percentage, threes. I think he's down 10 percentage points on threes. So then the question is, what does Golden State have right now without Durant, without Klay? And I'm thinking Steph, who is a top 10 player.
Yep.
Yeah, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
And then Draymond. And listen, I don't even want to hear your stupid opinion about what Draymond is. If you got him above 70, I don't want to hear it. Do you want to say what your number is?
Oh, well, Draymond's one of the top five at his position. He's a top 25 player in the NBA.
Stoned. All right. So maybe we're getting to the point of the dispute. And maybe it does rest on Draymond. Brett, do me a favor. Pull up Draymond's stats as we're talking. And we want to compare it to 3 years ago. Oh, I'm sorry. Stats don't count, Fez. You want to have an objection?
Well, let's talk about his regular season and his postseason stats.
No, I don't want to, because his postseason stats for what? This year only?
Yes.
So that's the year that matters, not last.
Well, no, all the years. His postseason stats this year were comparable, if not better, than all of his other postseason stats from prior years. He was hurt most of the year. That's why
his stats
were bad.
Oh, he's hurt every year,
He had a bad toe when he got fat. He was 25 pounds overweight.
I mean, for longtime listeners, they hear a certain tone in Fezzik's voice when he knows he doesn't believe what he says. It rises up, and he goes, and he got fat. It's like, dude, getting fat is part of getting old. Especially if you're a guy like Draymond, who seems to be hit or miss. I mean, he certainly has intensity on the court, but he's got a lot of bank. And at this point, he's going to play himself into shape?
Well, he did in April. He came back, he lost the 25 pounds, and he was great in the playoffs.
Now let's play big bank, take little bank.
I want a guy that's going to play the whole year. How's that sound?
Right.
I mean, and again, remember, if we're saying how good is a team, we're not talking about how good are they going to be on some hypothetical June night if the wind's blowing just right and he gets two seats on the airplane so his stomach can sit somewhere. I mean, we're saying how good is Golden State throughout the season. So, Brad, just hit us real quick, and then we'll let Fez have the break to actually think on this. Give us Draymond this year. Right, 82 games versus, you know, 3-4 years ago. Just pick a year.
Yeah, so Draymond this year averaged 7.4 points per game.
7.4 in the first half? So wait a minute. You're saying a guy that averaged 7 points per game is the 25th best player in the NBA?
Not during the regular season, because he was hurt all year.
You hear his voice? Not during the regular season. But he played the game. Oh, he toughed it. He was so tough. He wasn't tough enough to actually be in playing shape, but he was tough enough to play through injuries. All right. We're going to let Fez regroup. Brad, give me that. I'm going to look at those stats. We're going to pull out even more indictments. So when we come back, Fez is going to take a beating when it comes to this Golden State talk. He thinks they're fifth. The team on that floor in game six, he thought was the fifth best team in the NBA. Wow. We'll blast him on that and get to the Van Vliet stuff, because the law might be involved.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We are finishing the debate. It was a debate discussing how good Golden State is, and then it turned into how good Draymond Green is. RJ, what's
the
verdict?
Then it turned into how fat Draymond Green
right.
is. So, Fez, I'm going to give you one last say. I think some people could agree with you. This is rare. I'm going to give you a half a win, because we got to get to this Van Vliet stuff. So, recap, here's your debate. You believe that Golden State, with the team that was on the floor in Game 6, no Klay, no Durant, you have Golden State as the fifth best team. Now, that'd be against last year's teams. We don't know where free agents are going, but if somehow last year it was put in a time machine, but with that situation for Golden State, you'd give them the fifth best chance. It seems to hinge on your love of Draymond Green.
It does. And you're right, RJ. During the regular season, Draymond Green totally underperformed. But during the playoffs, I firmly believe he was a top 25 NBA player, and the stats back that up.
Yeah, maybe not. Because if he's going to be your second best player, and this is my last rebuttal, there was two games entering the game they didn't have Clay. And in those games, it was 28 points in two games combined. So 14 a game. So if your second scorer's waddling around all regular season, and then in the postseason he's giving you 14 when you need scoring, I think there's more than 24 people better than him. But I'm going to give Fez half a win. You can see how much he needs it. Coming up now, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Fez, let's go through this quick because there's stuff that we haven't told anyone about. So let's keep it real simple. You and Fred VanVleet had a very, I would say that you loved his game, you could say, but there was love there.
Absolutely.
For 2 years.
I kept talking about how good VanVleet was, and no one was recognizing
him. I mean, it was a running joke. People were sending you bobbleheads. Then VanVleet had a bad run for 2 weeks. So 2 years of love, 2 weeks it wasn't so good. And what was your response?
I renounced my involvement with Freddie after he was so horrible to start the playoffs.
He still calls him Freddie, though. That's awesome. All right. So then, he renounced on 200 stations coast to coast. He said, we're done. What happened then, Brad? Yeah. The rest is history.
So Freddie goes on to have the best 9-game stretch of his entire career. And if it's not for Kawhi, Fred VanVleet is your NBA Finals MVP.
Only got to get votes other than, or yep. a vote. So that means the second best player on the championship team from, remember, Fez didn't renounce him when they went, got swept by the Cavs? Or he's like, nope. Hey, my love is strong. A couple bad games, he said, I'm through with you. Okay, history was made. Now, last Monday, so 8 days ago, there was some vague talk months before, maybe this would be a vacation week for Fez. Come Monday, he doesn't show up. Unexpectedly, no one really knew where he was. There was a weird voicemail at one point, but now we think that's fake coming from Fez. And then on Twitter, and this was an eye popper, is on Twitter, two separate people. So this is like, in journalism, you've got a source, you've got a second source, yep. You print it, said that Fezzik was seen in the hometown of Fred VanVleet's family. So first, you're talking to the nation, true or false?
I could neither confirm nor deny that I was in Rockford, Illinois.
I didn't even know it was Rockford.
I didn't either.
All right. Well, here's the kicker, and you haven't even heard this. Pregame.com, we've got a voicemail, but we don't, check it every couple days because, who's leaving voicemail these days, right? Usually just bill collectors, but I guess telemarketers, et cetera. We've got the sound. LA has it. And this was the voice. And listen up. You haven't heard this, Fez. This was the voicemail we discovered yesterday.
Hi, this is Chelsea Ovio. And this message is for Mr. Fizz.
That's Fez.
Sorry, Mr. Double V. Mr. Fez, we have a working order protection against you right now by the VanVleet family. Please stay back 100 feet. That's 100 feet. Thank you.
What the heck is going on?
You know what? On advice of legal counsel, I have no formal comment at this time.
I got to tell you something. That's the thing about Fez is he's used to getting in his way. How weird would it be having Fez knocking on your door?
Very weird.
And is Freddie here? Well, no, he's actually in, the Bay Area playing a game. He's like, could you imagine if he's like, I want to talk to you guys, I envision him like at a motel. Remember at the end of Breaking Bad where the last couple episodes where Walter's like staying in bad motels, he's got a beard. All right. Well, listen, here's the good news, Jonas, is we've got all the offseason to figure this out. Now, real quick, Fez, you got 15 seconds. My gut feeling is you're just going to hate Freddie at this. No matter how well he plays, there's no forgiving is what I see.
I think it's a story yet to be told, RJ.
Well, I know Fezzik pretty well. I don't think he's going to forgive.
Maybe it's an Illinois thing because Jimmy Garoppolo is also from Illinois. I think there's a connection there.
Ooh, real quick, is check my Twitter at RJ in Vegas. We got that Laker team Brad put together. We'll actually be talking about that and maybe taking calls on it tomorrow at RJ in Vegas.
The Odd Couple is next here on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight Out of Vegas back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.